You're listening to Standard Time on 90.5 WICN Jazz Plus for New England. I'm Howard Kaplan. Right now, I have the pleasure of introducing one of America's most gifted and prolific artists, a leading champion of the Great American Songbook. She's made her mark as a singer, pianist, composer, lyricist, arranger, actress, educator, and TV host and producer. Voted recently by BroadwayWorld.com as Performer of the Year and 2 years in a row as Best Jazz Vocalist. She has sung with more than 40 of the world's top orchestras and big bands and has received so many awards, time prevents me from listing them all. This weekend, she'll be performing songs from her new CD, Fever, a Peggy Lee celebration, Friday night, April 7th, at the Music Room in West Yarmouth, and Saturday night at Scholars Jazz Club in Boston, which, by the way, my lovely wife Trish and I will be attending. Ann Hampton Calloway, welcome to 90.5 WICN and Standard Time. Great to have you with us.
It's great to be with you, Howard. What a pleasure.
I wanted to start off our chat by talking about your wonderful new album called Fever, a Peggy Lee celebration. Now, what inspired you to want to pay tribute to Peggy?
Well, as I said in my liner notes, I was raised on Peggy Lee and milk when I was a baby. The year that Fever came out, my dad was playing that quite a bit on the turntable, I understand. And so I think I was sort of embedded with Peggy Lee's sultry and sizzling music that was such a great pleasure to listen to. I had a very sophisticated musical sensibility as a baby and as a child. I scat sang to Ella Fitzgerald and Sarah Vaughan, and I loved my father's jazz collection. He was a huge jazz buff. And so later on in life, as I started a legacy series paying tribute to these wonderful ladies, I decided that when Peggy Lee's centennial was coming up, that I wanted to do a fun, you know, a really beautiful show. I'd already done a symphonic show with a celebration I had created of several years ago, but I wanted to do something really special, create a true musical portrait, paint a picture of her life, her achievements, her challenges, her passions, and celebrate her songwriting, because I think a lot of people don't realize that this great singer was also, probably in my estimation, the first famous female singer-songwriter. And she sang with everybody, but she also wrote songs with Duke Ellington, Victor Young, Dave Barber, her husband, and so many more great artists. So it's been a joy to not only do the show all over the country but also and the world, but also to do this record with my guest artist, John Pizzarelli, and my wonderful band.
That's right. Yes, John Pizzarelli, wonderful surprise that we have him performing on this album. What is the story behind John joining you on this?
Well, when I was talking to Holly Foster Wells, who is the head of the estate of Peggy Lee and happens to be her beautiful granddaughter, I said to her, I want to make this album really special and really reflect the soul of Peggy Lee. And she said, well, you know, a wonderful idea would be to have John Pizzarelli, who's the son of Bucky Pizzarelli, who, aside from her husband, Dave Barber, Bucky was Peggy's favorite guitarist that she worked with. And so to have John would sort of continue the lineage of Pizzarelli brilliance. And we also are very dear friends, so it made a lot of sense. And she was also the person who gave me a beautiful unpublished poem called Clair de Lune about the love affair between Claude Debussy and Gabrielle Dupont. And she said, why don't you set this and make it a song and write the music to it? So I did that, and she gave me permission to be the first person to release a recording of a beautiful song from her Broadway musical Peg called The Other Part of Me. And because of my wonderful friendship with Holly and all the research that she helped me to do through the years of my passion about Peggy, it's really been a rich experience and a very meaningful one.
And the songs that you have on your album, I mean, it's just a majestic album. It absolutely is just wondrous.
Of course, thank you. No one's used that word, but I love that. Thank
you.
Oh,
my pleasure. Our pleasure here at WICN, and we've been featuring it on our radio station and, of course, on Standard Time. So how did you go about preparing this album? Because the songs were carefully chosen by you, and they aren't necessarily all chart toppers.
Well, you know, I I had already done a recording of Is That All There Is on my album Signature when I was paying tribute to my favorite jazz artists, and that was my nod to Peggy. I was more interested in painting a personal musical portrait and giving people a listening experience that would get into the soul of Peggy Lee. And I had created a show with a whole chronological storyline, et cetera. So some of the songs in the show I didn't feel would be as interesting to do on the CD. You may know that Bette Midler has recorded a tribute CD, and several female artists have already created albums and done a lot of her big hits. I thought this album should be different and do more of the gems and create more of a personal sense of who she was and what she cared about and feature her songwriting. And I feel that the response I've had from critics, fans, and when it was played on Seriously Sinatra, a special one-hour interview that I did with Peggy Lee's granddaughter, people really seem to resonate with these gems, and they're rediscovering songs sometimes for the first. They're discovering older songs they forgot about. But for instance, like Sing a Rainbow, why would I record that song? Well, it's part of the story of it, but to me, that's the song that earned her Oscar nomination. And why does a jazz right. become famous, not just to jazz lovers, but also to the world? Peggy Lee did so many songs for movies, and so I wanted that song to represent some of the movie brilliance that she created through her many years in Hollywood. Johnny Guitar is not a very well-known song, but I think it's probably one of her most beautiful, and she was thinking about her love, the love of her life, Dave Barber, when she was writing it. And when she was almost about to get ready to be reunited with him after they'd been divorced due to his alcoholism, he died. And it was the saddest moment of her life. So that was another way of honoring her love of her husband, Dave Barber, and also a great song that she wrote with Victor Young. And I think it's one of the most haunting songs on the album. Particularly like that one.
I totally agree, Anne, on that. And we're talking with Anne Hampton Calloway, superstar songwriter and singer. She has a new album out right now, Fever, a Peggy Lee celebration, and she'll be performing tomorrow night, as of airtime right now, tomorrow night in the Music Room in West Yarmouth, Massachusetts, and then Saturday night at Scholars Jazz Club in Boston. So, Anne, now, did you ever have the chance to meet Peggy?
Oh, I wish I had, but I got to see her live. I sat about 5 feet away from her in one of her last performances in New York when she was singing at the Hilton, and it was just mesmerizing. And then I got to hear her and watch her majestic beauty, speaking of majesty, at Ravinio, just a beautiful theater outside of Chicago. It's a very well-known place to hear great artists. And I was so inspired by her sensibility musically and her presence and the combination of sexiness and intelligence was just, there was an elegance about her that I really loved, that I thought was very unique. And she really was an excellent actress, not just a great singer, which made her songs more powerful. And that's a very important thing to me. But I wish I had met her. I think we would have had a wonderful time. And I've got to know her daughter, Nikki, very well. We used to go to lunches whenever I was in Los Angeles. And sometimes we were both very spiritually minded. Sometimes I would get messages in my mind. It seemed like they were from Peggy, and I would share them with Nikki. And she said, oh, my goodness, that's exactly what my mother would say to me. And so I feel like there's been a sort of spiritual connection with her, but no, I did not. I know so many musicians who work with her, and I've, you know, talked to them about their experiences, and it's almost as if we are connected in that way.
You told a part of Peggy's life story in the song Fever. In fact, I was listening to the tune, I was listening to the album, and then all of a sudden, you just injected words in the absolute right place, and it just sounded so appropriate, about an instance in Peggy's life. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes. Well, you know, Peggy took that song Fever, which was originally a blues song, and she totally added verses and a bridge, and she wrote her own lyrics and she made it her own. And she was one of the reasons why I do that in some of my songs. And so I thought it would be really wonderful in my live show to share a little bit in the song about how she met Dave Barber with the Benny Goodman Big Band, and how Benny Goodman had this rule that they weren't allowed to be together. Nobody could date each other or even be married in the band. And so I thought I'd sneak that in there. Somehow the Captain and Pocahontas didn't seem as politically correct these days. So I just thought that would be a marvelous way to make the song my own.
So who were your influences growing up, Anne?
Well, I have to acknowledge my mom, Shirley Calloway, who was a fabulous singer, pianist, and voice teacher. And the reason why I do what I do, I mean, I like to say that I got designer genes from her. She really had such a passion, and she loved all kinds of music. She loved classical music. She loved Broadway. She loved standards. I really got my love of jazz from my father. But as I said, on my parents' turntable were great singers like Ella Fitzgerald, Sarah Vaughan, Billie Holiday, Carmen McRae, Betty Carter, Frank Sinatra, Tony Bennett. And the people sort of genre hoppers like Ray Charles, who was singing jazz one minute and soul the next. And I grew up with such marvelous mentors that taught me. I mean, I was singing scat when I was 3 years old. And I then became very inspired by the singer-songwriters coming up in the early 70s. Carole King, James Taylor, Joni Mitchell. Those were three of my real important influences as a singer-songwriter. And the soulfulness of Stevie Wonder's writing and singing really moved me. Judy Garland was my first favorite singer, seeing her in The Wizard of Oz as a little girl and watching this beautiful, sweet person sing to me. I was so moved by that, and I sort of memorized the musical, you know, score when my mom got us the record. But I then also I have to acknowledge that Leontine Price, the great opera singer, taught me that singers can be vessels of God. They can be vessels of a higher energy if we allow ourselves to be. And so that was a remarkable experience when I was toying with the idea of becoming an opera singer and not a pop jazz singer for a little while. And that lesson stayed with me, that there's definitely a mysterious aspect to being a singer, a musician. Music has a, as I like to say, is the bridge between heaven and earth. And I love when I feel that connection in my music.
I don't think a lot of our Standard Time and WICN listeners may know this, but you actually collaborated with Cole Porter on a song. Can you talk a little bit about that?
I know, that sounds like it must be 100, yeah.
A friend of mine named Bradshaw Smith discovered in the, there's a wonderful series of books if you're a real lyric writer, a lyric lover rather. It's called The Complete Works of George and Ira Gershwin, Cole Porter, Rodgers and Hart, etc. And so in that Cole Porter book were two lyrics that had never been set to music. And he said, would you set these to music? And this was a long time ago in the 80s. And so I set this beautiful lyric called I Gaze in Your Eyes to music. And then at a recording session a few years later, I said to my producer, Ben Bagley, we were recording Cole Porter songs, the lesser known songs. I said, would you like to hear the song I wrote with Cole Porter? And he said, what do you mean? So I played him the song. He said, we have to put this on the record. I said, we can't. It's not published. He said, let me worry about that. And he talked to the old ladies at the front desk of the estate, and they said, oh, absolutely not. But he was a plucky Irishman who insisted that the head of the estate say no. So Robert Townsend apparently played my cassette in his car, and he was weeping. And he said, after he heard the song, he said, all right, we're going to publish this song. And that became a momentous moment in my life as a songwriter. And it also was the first song on my very first solo album, Anne Hampton Calloway, on DRG Records. And it really set a tone for my life of being a lover of great standards and great writing and trying to create a bridge to today's world to continue the standard of writing, the standard of artistry that these writers like Cole Porter and George and Ira Gershwin and so many more have set for all of us who love great music.
And speaking of great writing, and you are such a prolific songwriter, some people may not know that. And one of your amazing talents is the ability to compose music instantly on the spot based on words you're given. We have seen this. My wife and I have seen you do this in numerous live performances. We actually follow you all around the country. No, I'm just kidding. But we have seen you do this. When did you realize that you could do this?
Well, you know, I'll tell you that the reason I started doing it is I read Bob Dylan's free association novel called Tarantula when I was 12 years old, and I was so fascinated that somebody could just write the first thing that came to mind. And so I started writing in my journal, and I really, really limbered up my imagination and my faith and my intuition. And so I was a really frustrated piano student, and I used to make up fake Beethoven, you know, very angsty chords, and, you know, but I didn't know how to sight read very well. And then when I moved to New York and I got jobs in sort of noisy nightclubs, I thought I'm going to try to make up some songs about what's going on in the room and involve people and really, you know, take them on an adventure into the unknown. And this, I don't know, I was just natural at it. I just know how to make up a song. I have a rhyming dictionary in my brain, and I'm very fluent and at you know, musical ideas. So I don't know, it's just the way I was born. So through the years, there was a great way when I was starting out to compel people to stop talking. And what is she doing? Is she singing about this person in the room? And through the years, it's also provided me with some very powerful moments and was also the birth of many of my best songs. For instance, Amanda McBroom and I are releasing a single of our song, Almost. And the moment I read those lyrics, I immediately improvised music. And that was the music that is now the song. So I think that's part of being a jazz artist, is the ability to be totally in the moment and allow music to flow through you and to just trust in it. And it's been a real adventure having this kind of brain.
Well, as my wife said this morning, actually, she said, what a wonderful wordsmith Ann Hampton Callaway is. And I think that really does sum it up. Yes. So let's bring it back now to, as sadly, we're almost out of time here on Standard Time, but let's bring it back to your live performances this coming Friday night and Saturday evenings. What can folks expect?
Well, I'll be doing a one-woman show at both venues. I don't know how many people have been to the Music Room in West Yarmouth, but it's really a sexy, fun room. I sold it out last time when I was doing the Barbara Streisand songbook at the piano. And it's going to be a fabulous night of songs and stories with the great Peggy Lee. I think West Yarmouth, I have time to do an improv, but Scholars is a 75-minute show. West Yarmouth is a 90-minute show. And Scholars, I'll be doing my songs for many people. I have a big Boston following, and I'm looking forward to seeing everybody there. But one of the things about the show that makes it special is that I do have some really interesting stories that make these songs come to life. And I will be involving the audience in some Ann Hampton Callaway Tabernacle Choir sing-alongs. But it should be a night of romance and beauty and hilarity and emotional intimacy, because I love when I have the audience to myself. That's just me and them. There's a level of intimacy that really makes these songs come alive in a very unique and special way.
We love your sense of humor as well during your live performances. We want to thank Ann Hampton Callaway for joining us on Standard Time on this Thursday afternoon here on 90.5 WICN Jazz Plus for New England. We're going to be playing in a moment from Anne's new album, Fever, a Peggy Lee celebration. Get the album. It's on all streaming services and also wherever CDs and records are sold. Anne, I want to thank you for joining us.
My great pleasure. Howard Kaplan on Standard Time.
Oh, I love it. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Howard.
Thanks.